to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, man. It's time for the NXT Podcast. My name is Zachary Smith. Thank you very much for joining me again this week to talk about NXT. If you want to keep up with the show, talk about wrestling outside of NXT, or talk about anything, you can find me, as always, on Twitter. I am ZachNXT. That's ZachNXT if you want to hit me up over there. Now, this week on NXT, I'm not going to lie to you, because I would never do that. This show, not super great. A lot of it has to do with some changes that were made. A lot of it has to do with our main event that wasn't really a main event. It was a setup for a stupid story that they're telling. But what we do here is we talk about NXT, and so we're gonna do that. Before we do that, we usually talk about what's going on in wrestling or in the WWE specifically. And I think that very obviously the thing to talk about this week is Monday Night Raw. And boy, oh boy. So Monday Night Raw, as we talked about, has been having some ratings issues. And the WWE's response to those rating issues, of course, is to, one, bring back Shane McMahon because he's ratings. And two, was to have power issues throughout the show, and then find out that there is an underground fighting ring going on downstairs. So in the world of the storyline here, Shane McMahon snuck back to WWE, snuck underground somewhere, got a bunch of people together without alerting any attention, and got them all in a underground fighting ring, which is just a part of the performance center that's dressed up quite nicely to look like a fighting ring. There's a wrestling ring, but there's a different tarp over it, and there's no ropes, and there's very few rules, because an underground fighting ring with limited rules is the most WWE thing that has ever been. And, This is not great. Obviously, we're gonna start right there. This is not great. But I think it could have been. I think it could have been great. But here's what I think happened. As you may or may not know, Vince McMahon has been the owner of WWE for years and years and years, and he doesn't take vacations. He doesn't consume media outside of WWE. And every story you hear about Vince, it's that he doesn't know pop culture references. He only knows WWE because we make movies, pal. Why would I watch other movies? But every once in a while, Vince will watch a movie. And if Vince likes a movie, you can bet that whatever that movie is going to make its way into the WWE somehow, usually in a ham-fisted way. Generally doesn't work. I will bet you $100 that Vince watched Fight Club and thought, you know what I need? One, my son Shane, because I don't like to be on TV, but McMahons are what get ratings, not our, you know, wrestlers. He watched Fight Club and decided, boy, oh boy, we need that. And this is what the WWE thinks Fight Club is. It's not. Somebody on Twitter broke down how many camera cuts there were for each of those Raw Underground segments. And the biggest problem, I think, is that it's shot like a WWE match still. They cut every time a move is hit. So every punch, every kick, every suplex, there's a camera cut, and here's the thing. Raw Underground could be really cool. There could be just this underground place where they're just having fights, but the problem is that it's WWE doing it, and I don't have faith in WWE to pull that off. What they were doing is they were having wrestling matches with a sepia filter over them. If this were a different company, I would have more faith in what's to come, and I would think, well, we'll give it a few weeks. But because it's WWE, they're going to do it for one or two more weeks, and then they're just not going to mention it again. And then we have the Hurt Business, Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley with MVP, who, after MVP and Shelton lose on Raw, they are so angry about hearing about this underground fighting ring that they first stop to do a costume, to shower and get costume change, because they're all wearing Miami Vice style suits, and then they invade Raw Underground and they start beating people up, and then they start beating people up in the crowd, and they clear out the underground fighting ring. So presumably Shane McMahon got some of the toughest people for Raw Underground, some animals, some real bad dudes and dudettes, right? So it's weird that three dudes rolled up into an underground fighting ring and took them all out. Kind of makes everybody that was involved in it look real cowardly. Kind of makes it feel like there's no point if three dudes from Raw can just roll down there after having matches and take the whole thing over. Love the Hurt Business. That's not how you debut your first segment. And I just think it's funny that WWE and Vince are having these long meetings about Raw and shutting down all these different ideas that writers have, and what they land on to fix ratings is not focusing on wrestling or focusing on young stars, even though that's what he says he wants to do, but he doesn't. It's not changing the way you do programming. It's not having a camera cut every 5 seconds. It's not straying away from stupid stories that turn people off of wrestling. No. I don't want to be on TV, but we're going to put Shane on there because we need a McMahon, because those always mean ratings. Because I was a good heel, my kids should also be good on TV, even though they're not. And then we're going to have Fight Club because that's what people want. And a lot of people argued, well, it'll get people to tune in. It'll get people to watch. That doesn't work for me. At best, this is going to get people to watch for one more week to see what this weird thing was. And then WWE is not going to be able to capitalize on it, because they've proven time and time and time again they don't know what their fans want to see. Some of the biggest stars that they have had have happened by accident. And especially recently, their big stars are either people from the past or people that have gotten over in spite of WWE, not because of them. They get over in spite of their booking decisions. They get over in spite of the way their television program is put together. You don't need a Fight Club. You need to fix your television program. And if you just fix your television program, you could have more viewers. But I guess for right now, we're just going to do this weird Fight Club thing because Vince definitely just saw Fight Club. And you know Vince thinks Fight Club is a great movie, which it is. But he's going to make the WWE version because we make movies. And boy, oh boy, is it an idea that could have been cool. But Lucha Underground already did this and did it a lot better. And WWE, it's going to be one more week and then we're just not going to hear about it again. And in a way, that's some fun too. Just to watch an idea that's dead on arrival and needs to be taken to a local medical facility. But this week, we're here to talk about NXT. Kind of a strong start and then kind of a whimper to the finish type show. We're starting strong. We're starting with Rhea Ripley versus Dakota Kai. One-on-one, and the winner moves on to be the number one contender for Io Shirai's NXT Women's title at TakeOver 30. In terms of just a match in a vacuum, Rhea would obviously win this. But with the story that they're telling, it makes more sense for Dakota Kai to win, because when Rhea goes for the title again, it feels like Rhea should win, and that feels too soon for Io Shirai to lose. So you don't want to set up that match and knock Rhea off again, and you don't want to do it too soon with having Io lose the title. So it makes more sense storyline-wise to have Dakota Kai go on, because Dakota Kai is definitely not winning the women's title, but can have a great match with Io Shirai. Makes sense. I just realized that it was Rhea Ripley not putting Dakota Kai on her War Games team and saying she didn't have it is really initially what started Dakota on her heel turn, which is an interesting full circle. When Dakota Kai turned, she mentioned that they said that she didn't measure up, and that was part of the reason that she turned on Tegan Nox. I had forgotten that it really started with Rhea Ripley not putting her on the team. That's completely accidental by WWE putting them in this situation, but it feels cool. Dakota Kai had a great heel turn, and then not a ton after that. Feels like they didn't know what to do with her, really. Hopefully this kind of spotlight and spot will help kind of fix that point of view on her. Rhea still feels like a main eventer. The story, or lack thereof, with Charlotte Flair had her kind of take a back seat and felt like she was knocked down a couple pegs because she couldn't beat Charlotte Flair, and then she lost in the triple threat match, but feels like she's rebounded back. And so as much as one can from something like that, and she feels like if she were to win the NXT women's title, I wouldn't be shocked and I wouldn't be disappointed. So they're having an all right match, and then Mercedes Martinez attacks Rhea Ripley while she's out on the ring apron while the ref is distracted, and Dakota wins because of that distraction. So Dakota Kai wins and moves on to face Io Shirai, but Rhea Ripley only lost because of interference, so it doesn't hurt her, and means that Rhea is still in a feud with the Robert Stone brand, but with Mercedes Martinez, who is a much more credible threat than Aaliyah, who I don't know if she's still a wrestler or not, or if she's just like the mascot for the Robert Stone brand. I don't know, but I know I love Robert Stone and the Robert Stone brand. And again, he's a real fun Twitter follow. Martinez continues to attack Rhea Ripley once the match is over. Good to see her actually on TV. That's certainly an improvement. And doing stuff with her. Felt like she was there and then not for a long time. We cut from that to the Undisputed Era arriving to the Performance Center earlier today. They're all wearing suits because they're all very fancy boys. And then Robert Stone is leaving the building with Mercedes and Aaliyah. And somebody asks what that was about, and Robert Stone says Rhea may be done with the Robert Stone brand, but this Robert Stone brand is not done with Rhea. That's fun. She faced Aaliyah and Robert Stone, beat them, and then they got like a real legit tough wrestler in Mercedes Martinez. And of course Robert Stone is a lover scorned and is going to have Mercedes attack Rhea. That's fun, and it gives Rhea Ripley something else to do right away, so she's not just sitting there in a purgatory with nothing to do, as can often happen. We see Pat McAfee talking with Shawn Michaels before the show. They say that Pat's going to join the commentary team later tonight. Pat McAfee is usually great on commentary. He wasn't this time. We'll talk about that later because of a very specific, very stupid setup that they're doing. But we'll talk about that when we get to it. We cut, and it's Damian Priest out first. It's going to be Damian Priest versus Oney Lorcan versus Ridge Holland. And the winner gets the third spot in the five-man ladder match at TakeOver for the North American title. They'll join Bronson Reed and Dexter Lumis as it stands right now. That's going to change in a little bit. Ridge Holland, looked him up because I didn't know him by name initially, is a former rugby player. He's been training with the WWE for a couple years now, and he's made a few appearances on NXT UK. Seems like they see some potential in him. Obviously, this is a big way to debut somebody. We'll see if they see that much in him. I've never seen Ridge Holland in the ring. I didn't watch NXT UK a lot. And I was worried because he's a former rugby player. I was worried that he would just be doing like tackles and scrums because that's what they used to have other sport athletes do, especially football players. They would just generally have them do a three-point stance and a tackle. But he's in there and he's like an actual really good wrestler. I think he's going to fit in just fine with NXT. So it's going to be fun to see what he's doing like later down the road because he's like an actual good wrestler. And so he's well-rounded, and so that gives you more opportunities to do different stuff with him. Kind of forgotten in this match is Oney Lorcan, because he's obviously not going to be the one to win, but Oney Lorcan is really great. They don't do a ton with him, but every time they do, he over-delivers. He's on 205 Live a lot, and I never watched 205 Live, but every time I've seen him on either 205 Live or NXT, he's always involved in great matches, and he's always really hard-hitting, and he's just a crazy dude that's running around out here trying to fight anybody, and that's just a great tool to have in the toolbox. Oney is somebody who, if you wanted to do more with him, you could, but you also don't have to. He kind of suffers from the curse of, like, Dolph Ziggler, where he's very good at putting people over, and so that's what they have him do a lot. But I'm in fairness, he is great at it, and he's really fun to watch, and he kind of gets forgotten a lot when he's in matches like this, but he's a glue that kind of helps hold everything together. They do, in fact, have Ridge Holland do a pounce tackle. I knew it. I knew he was going to do it. You knew the rugby player was going to do a big pounce tackle on somebody. Ridge Holland feels like a guy that Vince is going to see randomly on NXT TV one week when he decides to pay attention, and Vince is immediately going to want him on Raw or SmackDown. Ridge Holland probably isn't ready for that just because he hasn't had a ton of TV time. And NXT is perfect for a guy like Ridge Holland because he's a very good wrestler who probably hasn't had all of the requisite time on television to develop a character that's going to be strong enough to connect with fans at home. And that's 100% fine. And that's what NXT partially is there for, is for people like Ridge Holland. But he screams of a guy that Vince is just going to really want on the main roster. And because for some reason this dude is still the head of everything in WWE, he's just gonna do it, and then Ridge Holland's gonna get lost in the shuffle. But as long as he is on NXT, I feel like we're gonna get a lot of great moments from Ridge Holland, and I'm excited to see where it goes, because you can go a lot of directions with him, but I don't know where they're gonna go yet. Damian Priest hits the Reckoning on Oney Lorcan and wins. Priest has a big old knot under his right eye. I didn't see where it happened, but somebody hit him hard. It feels weird to have Ridge Holland debut and not win, but he didn't get pinned or submitted, and that doesn't hurt him, and he looked great in this match. You knew Oney Lorcan was going to be the one that lost. I just wasn't sure whether it was going to be Ridge or Damian Priest winning, and I'm excited to see what they do with Ridge Holland going forward, so mission accomplished in terms of a debut. So, as it stands right now, which will change, it's Bronson Reed, Dexter Lumis, and Damian Priest in the ladder match. It's going to be a very interesting match to watch. Excited to see how it shakes out. We have two more spots left to fill. We have a recap of Pat McAfee and Adam Cole smoothing things over on Twitter. There were people that believed that this was a real outburst and real mandated apology. It wasn't. I don't fault anybody for falling for a wrestling storyline, because it happens to me as well. But if you saw Adam Cole on the Pat McAfee show, real people don't go from 0 to 100 that quick. When somebody says something about you that you take offense with, you don't start at knocking the mic away, standing up and getting in his face and yelling at him like a wrestler would. You start with talking and arguing, and then it might get to that point. So, I don't fault anybody for falling for a storyline. That's what wrestling is here to do. But boy, oh boy, this was 100% a wrestling storyline this whole time. And it feels like one. And boy, oh boy, is it going to feel like one more in just a little bit. We cut. It's Cameron Grimes, who's out for his match against Keith Lee. That was set up last week. Cameron Grimes is going to die. Cannot stress that enough. Keith Lee comes out, and Keith Lee looks real focused. He looks mad. He looks like he's had a bad day. And I, again, cannot stress enough how much Cameron Grimes is going to die here tonight. This is a pre-funeral, which is the thing that I just invented, which is where you get to strut your stuff on TV before you die and have your funeral, because that's what this is going to be, and that's what Keith Lee looks like. Keith Lee looks ready to kill a man, and Keith Lee does some impressive stuff when he doesn't want to kill somebody. So again, really can't stress this enough. This is a televised funeral, and I'm here for it. So this is a good match, but this is one of those matches that really only exists to set up a story for an upcoming match. So this match is not about Cameron Grimes versus Keith Lee. It's about Keith Lee dealing with Karrion Kross. These types of matches have never been my favorite because ultimately you're just waiting for the important thing to happen. So obviously Cameron Grimes is not going to beat Keith Lee even in a vacuum. But in a match like this, instead of just getting sucked into a great match, I find myself just waiting for when interference is going to come or when they're going to do the important thing, because it's clear that they want to set up Keith Lee and Karrion Kross, but you have this little deviation with Cameron Grimes that happened last week, and so they have a match this week, and it only exists so that Keith Lee could beat Cameron Grimes and then have something with Karrion Kross. So it always takes me out of the match a little bit when I know it's just going to be a step in a story. I mean, kudos to Cameron Grimes. He's having a great match with Keith Lee. He's great at selling, and he's really getting over how bad Keith Lee is when he wants to be and when he's real focused. Cameron Grimes gets hit with the spirit bomb, and Keith Lee wins. And so Keith Lee is standing in the ring with the NXT title, and the lights go out. So we're just going to do it. It's all we're going to do is we're just going to do it. Lights go out, and there's nobody there, and then Scarlett's speaking in another language. And then here's Karrion Kross again, and he's on the video screen again because he's a big, scary guy, but he's on the video screen again. He says, "I guess we're doing this the hard way." He said, "I haven't seen Regal here since I got here." As if Regal, like, stopped coming because he was scared of Karrion Kross. But he says, "I haven't seen Regal Hill since I got here. And since you're the guy who can make things happen but won't, what happens next is on you." It's interesting that he says you're the one that makes things happen but won't, even though last week Keith Lee said, "Please come out here and fight me." And you literally just did show up. You sent your manager out there to just, I don't know, I guess try and get in his head or intimidate him, which is not what happened. When a dude is literally out there running you down and begging you to fight him, the next thing you say can't be, "Well, you can make things happen, but don't." He tried to. And although you are a purported monster, you were very scared of having to fight another dude and didn't show up. That's not Keith Lee not making a decision. That's you being a scaredy-scared boy. But it pans out from being way too close on Karrion Kross's face, and Karrion Kross has some dude in a chokehold and drops him and starts to walk away and turns around and, "Guys, remember that $100 I bet you on Fight Club? I'll give it back if you can tell me what he said." "That's right," he says, "TikTok," and I just couldn't possibly care any less, because if he's supposed to be a monster, have him be a monster. If he's supposed to be just a heel, just a bad guy, have him be a bad guy. A monster who is scared to face somebody just face to face is not a monster. And I could see leading up to this where he had Scarlett come out and basically do his mind game dirty work for him. But at this point, he's choking out some random dude and trying to intimidate Keith Lee. And in just the world of WWE taking this story seriously in kayfabe, that means that he's all week planning on what to do to try and scare Keith Lee or get in his head. And instead of just going out there and trying to choke out Keith Lee, he attacked some random dude. Well, last week, he fought Dominik Dijakovic, and that was a person Keith Lee had a personal connection to. So to go from that to just some dude doesn't make sense to me. It also doesn't make sense that this big bad dude who's supposed to be scary keeps showing up on the video screen and just shoving his personal line of TikTok out where it doesn't fit. And he's clearly just, in the world of this story, too concerned about just fighting Keith Lee. That's fine for like a Seth Rollins or just a heel that's just a scared heel. If this were Cameron Grimes doing it, I would completely understand. But imagine just having Brock Lesnar come back and challenge for the WWE title. But every time it was time for Drew to come out to the ring and call him out, Brock showed up on the video screen and just had laid out a random dude. You would think it was weird, right? Because Brock Lesnar is a monster. He's a beast. He will go out there and fight you and beat you up. You can't have a monster who doesn't do monstrous things. Choking out a random person is a de-escalation of last week. It's not intimidating. And it really, really, really feels like when I was a teenager and had like an online wrestling league that I managed, and you would have to write out your own stories. And so, of course, everybody wrote basically Undertaker stories, and it was teenagers that thought they were being really cool. I don't know why I'm telling you this story. This is embarrassing already. But everybody would write the same thing where it was spooky and they had this big bad character and they would say cryptic things. And if you go back and read it now, it's not scary. It makes you laugh. And so when this person just refuses to come out there, it's not scary. It's hilarious. So I just don't care at all. And I feel like I keep seeing the same thing every week. And it's already run its course with me, and I might just be the minority. That's okay. But I just don't care at all. And nothing I have seen is making me care. Keith Lee's doing a great job. He's calling him out directly. The things they are having Karrion Kross do are not making me excited to see this match. Whatever. Who cares? That's fine. This is fine. We'll just do it. It's fine. And then either Karrion Kross is going to lose, and then what was the point, or Karrion Kross is going to win, and then that's not going to be as good. Keith Lee's just going to be a better champion than Karrion Kross. I don't know. Feels like we're going into a lose-lose with a lose-lose, and that's what you want for a big hot feud. We cut, and we get William Regal on a low-quality Zoom recording. He's talking about the North American title ladder match. Now, he says that Dexter Lumis in that triple threat match sustained an ankle injury, so he won't make it to TakeOver. He says that Finn Balor and Johnny Gargano complained that they weren't actually pinned or submitted in their matches. So, in 2 weeks, those two, along with Ridge Holland and somebody else, I missed the last name, all four people that were not pinned or submitted in their matches, will have two singles matches, and those winners will move on. I don't know what we're going to do about that last spot, but my brain hurts a little bit, and I got a little confused at this part, but basically, Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano, Ridge Holland, and somebody else that was in one of those triple threat matches that I'm just too stupid at the moment to think of their name, who weren't pinned or submitted in a triple threat match, will have singles matches, and then those winners will go on to the ladder match. So first, sucks that Dexter Lumis is out. Feels like it was going to be a great platform for him. And it just really sucks when you're getting an opportunity like that, making the most of it, and then you get injured, and it's something that's just beyond your control. That always sucks. He, as you know, I'm biased, but he's the one I was most excited to see in this ladder match. It's still going to be a great match. It just it sucks that he got hurt. And then it's weird to me that the guys who lost triple threat matches are just getting another shot to get in this match when just in this world, you know that you don't have to be pinned or submitted to lose a triple threat match. They lost anyway. And then we're just deciding our last spots by having like a best participation award for the people who already were losers of those matches. Like, you didn't directly lose, but you didn't win. But then we're just going to run it back and see if you can win this time. It just kind of feels like we lost a lot of steam and, like, more importantly, a lot of creativity with the last leg of this match for qualifiers. It feels like we came out of the gate strong with Bronson Reed qualifying, and people didn't necessarily see that coming. And then, like, we had really great triple threat matches. And now it just kind of feels like a runner who started great out of the starting line and then completely lost steam and is just barely power walking to the finish line. And that stinks, because the North American title ladder match should be a big deal. It's the second biggest title on NXT. It's the only other singles title, and it's going to be a great match. So I was hoping that we would have new people. I was hoping that Isaiah Swerve Scott would get a chance to compete for that. I was hoping that other wrestlers would get a chance to compete with that. But instead of using the multitude of talent that we have, we're just going to run these dudes back to see who the best second place person is to get in that match. And that's nothing against any of the wrestlers that are going to qualify. They're all fantastic. It's just a weird way to present them and put them in this match. It's like, well, you lost a triple threat match, but you didn't really lose, so here's another chance, and then you won. I don't know, it just feels not as good as the other qualifiers, and I don't know that you want that disparity. But, I mean, I guess we'll see how it goes. We should at least get some good matches out of it, so there's that. Speaking of, Imperium is out in the main event to defend their tag titles against Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly of the Undisputed Era. This is where Pat McAfee joins us on commentary. Now, Mauro Ranallo and Beth Phoenix are still calling the action from home. Todd Phillips was just a lonely man by himself, and now he actually gets somebody to sit with. So somebody at lunch saw the kid sitting by himself and was nice enough to sit with him. That's very nice of Pat. And he's on commentary, not to do commentary, but to set up a story. So, as a reminder, last week, William Regal said, in response to Karrion Kross, that title matches are not handed out here, that in NXT, title matches are earned. And then not but 5 minutes later, it was immediately announced that he'd given a tag title shot to a team in the Undisputed Era that hasn't competed in some time because O'Reilly was out, and a faction that have been losing. A faction that last week, before that match was announced, were talking to each other about what they can do about the losing streak that they were on after Adam Cole lost the title to Keith Lee. So this team that were not doing anything but losing don't even have to qualify for it. They're just handed a title match in a brand where we earn all our title matches. Okay. I mean, listen, I know that all this is decided beforehand anyway, but like, don't do the "we have to earn title matches here" dot, 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 "by the way, here's a title match for this team that loses a lot." You could have just not said "we earned title matches." You literally could have just not put that part in and it would have been fine. But okay, that's cool. Pat McAfee is 100% out here just to start something with Adam Cole, which is confusing because Pat McAfee is not a wrestler. They had that a little bit a couple years ago where Pat McAfee, I want to say, was interfering in an Adam Cole match. But again, Pat McAfee's not a wrestler. Pat McAfee does a lot of things. He's actually a very, very, very good commentator. He's been on football broadcasts. He's very good there. He has his own podcast. That's very good. And he's called action for WWE before, and he's excellent at it. Unfortunately, that is not what we're doing here today. I'm not going to give you any of the lines like I usually do, but I just want you to know that for the entirety of this match, it's an extended lot of short jokes by Pat McAfee, who's sitting at the commentary table that's not but 10 feet away from Adam Cole, who's at ringside with Roderick Strong. So there's lots of shots of Adam Cole and Pat McAfee while Pat McAfee's taking shots at Adam Cole. And it's starting to get to the point where we're focusing on that more than the tag team title match that's going on. And then at a certain point, Adam Cole is no longer paying attention to this match and won't for the rest of this time. It is just staring at Pat McAfee and talking to Roderick Strong. And now Pat and Adam are talking back and forth a bit. And finally, we get to what you really came to see, not this stupid wrestling that's going on, the stories, it's such good stuff. And Adam Cole just walks over to the commentary booth, and McAfee's talking trash, and basically McAfee says that he's just telling jokes. And Adam Cole says, none of this is funny. And Adam Cole is right. I don't think they meant for him to say it like that when they wrote it. I don't think that they thought that that's what they were saying. But Adam Cole saying none of this is funny is so much more true than he knows. None of this is funny, and none of it's fun. As Adam Cole is walking away, Pat McAfee says that Adam Cole is an angry little elf. And I rewound there to make sure that's really what he said. And then I remembered that while this is NXT, this is also still WWE. And boy, oh boy, it is much clearer to me now that Vince McMahon now has a hand in NXT. Because there is no way on earth that Shawn Michaels and Triple H came up with this weird garbage. I've been watching wrestling long enough to know when something is a Vince McMahon thing. And calling somebody an angry little elf about Adam Cole is 100% something Vince would say and something Vince would think is very, very funny. And the interesting thing about that is Vince is the only person in the world that thinks it's funny. He's the only one. Again, Pat McAfee says that Adam Cole is an angry little elf, and Adam Cole throws water on him. Because when you're a big, tough wrestler, you don't fight somebody, you throw water on him. Now, I would like you, if you can, to keep in mind that there's still technically a match going on, and all four guys, all four of these poor, excellent wrestlers have to just lay out in the ring while all of this is happening so that we don't distract from this monumental storytelling with any actual really good wrestling, because who wants that? During this whole time, O'Reilly, Fish, and both members of Imperium have just been laying in the ring because the match was not important. They didn't care about it, so neither did we. And they just focused on your former NXT champion fighting a guy with a podcast. It's not that far off from Keith Lee losing the title and then having a feud with me. That doesn't make sense, does it? No, it doesn't. It especially doesn't make sense to use that time to take away from actual wrestling. I love Pat McAfee. I think Pat McAfee is fantastic at just about everything he does in media. I enjoy listening to him. I enjoy watching the things that he creates. But to put him in a wrestling angle that you're trying to sell as a shoot, as a real situation that was clearly not, and then having this setup and having Pat McAfee, who go back and listen to some of the match before Survivor Series when he was calling action on SmackDown. He's really good. this was him making different variations of a short joke the whole time. Because when you take somebody that's hilarious and a genuine creative person like Pat McAfee, and you put him in a WWE system, and you put him under Vince McMahon's rules and Vince McMahon's words, Vince McMahon's ideas can take somebody as creative as Pat McAfee and make him tell short jokes for 20 minutes while you ignore a wrestling match that you guys created. This is so fun. I'm having a great time. All right. Blah, 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 blah. Who cares? All four guys have finally gotten up in the ring because now it's time to finish this dumb wrestling match that's going on so we can get back to the real stuff. Imperium retains by pinning Bobby Fish. I don't care. You don't care. NXT didn't care, so who cares? Adam Cole and Pat McAfee are separated. Triple H and Shawn Michaels are out there. Bunch of referees, bunch of backstage people. Pat McAfee says that for the rest of your life, he's starting to walk away and then thinks better of it, walks back to the announce table and says, for the rest of your life, you're going to be an itty bitty little B word. He says the word, they don't beep it, because hopefully calling somebody a B word, which is just the ripcord that WWE pulls all the time when they don't know what to have somebody say, they call them the B word. They do it a lot in women's matches, feuds. They did it a lot with Roman Reigns because, ooh, you get the ooh from the crowd. Except there is no crowd, so they don't. He says you're going to be an angry, itty-bitty little B-word. Adam Cole gets so angry that somebody called him short because this is the first time he's ever heard it. He gets so angry as if he didn't know he weren't as tall. And here's the thing. Adam Cole's not short. He's short to Vince McMahon. If this isn't your giveaway that this is a Vince McMahon joint, making fun of somebody because of something they have no control over and making it the focal point of a story is absolutely a Vince McMahon joint. Having your former NXT champion arguing with a commentator while his faction members are having a title match and getting so angry and losing control of himself because he was called an elf is the most Vince McMahon thing Vince McMahon has ever Vince McMahoned. Adam Cole is so angry that I guess what he was trying to do is jump over the announce table, but somehow, really just to set up the spot, he's laying on his stomach and he's starting to come off of the table. And Pat McAfee runs up and kicks Adam Cole in the head. And Adam Cole is face down and he's knocked out. And Pat McAfee is escorted out of the building. Before he leaves, he says, "Real unprofessional place you got here." Yeah, Pat. You're absolutely right. As you could tell from the way that this review has gone, this was a show that started strong. And it was very promising. They were setting up things. There was good wrestling. And then as we went along, about the point of Karrion Kross showing up, the show just went downhill. We got Karrion Kross, which for me is always a letdown. We got the news, the Dexter Lumis ankle injury, and that we're power walking to the NXT North American title ladder match qualifiers. And then we had whatever this garbage was. This is a Raw storyline. This is not an NXT storyline. One of the reasons I love NXT so much is because it does not feel like Raw or SmackDown. A lot of the stupid stories that show up on Raw and SmackDown did not show up on NXT. NXT is stories to serve great wrestling. In this case, they quite literally ignored great wrestling because it's tag teams. Who cares? Because Vince doesn't like them. And we were telling a story. Except this story was bad. And the only way that they knew to progress this personal issue was not to have Pat McAfee attack Adam Cole's character, was not to have Pat McAfee make fun of Adam Cole losing the NXT title, was not to have Pat McAfee call on the personal issues they've had before. It was to have Pat McAfee call Adam Cole an elf. Because how dare he show up to my company and be short? And I think that's hilarious, even though I'm 70-something and should be retired. I'll have one of my brightest stars be called an elf and get so angry that he lays on an announce table, and then a punter from the NFL comes in and kicks him out. This is Vince McMahon's handprint on NXT, and if that continues, this is going to be a much, much, much worse show, and it's going to be hard to watch every week. I will still be here recapping it for you, but boy, oh boy, will I not enjoy it, because the last part of this show was some of the least enjoyable stuff I've seen in wrestling in some time. And that's saying something, because I've been watching Vince McMahon for a long time. Whether you like him or not as a person, at least you could always in the past fall back on, well, he's a creative genius. Well, now, here in 2020, no, you can't, because no, he's not. He's an out-of-touch old man who should not be the one person making decisions for this company, because he's clearly the worst at it, but nobody can tell him that, because he's the one who started it. We appreciate you starting it. We would love for you to not kill it. Can you please step aside? Pat McAfee was absolutely right. Real unprofessional place you got here. And Adam Cole was more prescient than maybe he even realized. None of this is funny. Listen, that's it for NXT. So that's it for me. Again, you can find me on Twitter. I'm Zach NXT. That's ZACHNXT. We talk about wrestling. We talk about what could happen, what should have happened. We talk about life. If you want to hear anything on the show, anything added, subtracted, any ideas for the show, I usually get my news segments up top from you guys on Twitter. So thank you to the people that helped me out there. You can hit me up there, ZACHNXT on Twitter. Otherwise, you can find me here next week to talk about, hopefully, a less Vince McMahon-y episode next week. But in the meantime, I've been Zachary Smith. You've been fantastic, and thank you so much for listening.